That's why key number four is this. Key number four. If I'm going to walk with God, I must intentionally be intimate with God. Let me say that again. If I'm going to walk with God, I must intentionally be intimate with God. God is not happy to be second place on your trophy shelf.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch of This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. We're fired up about today's program because we believe that God is going to use His Word in a profound and powerful way in your life to draw you closer to Him. Let's take our Bibles together right now and let's turn to Genesis chapter 6, looking at verses 8 through 9, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, Who Are You Walking With?
See, Noah was blameless. He was a just man. If you ever wonder if your obedience matters, it does. If you ever wonder if your obedience matters, it does. I'm not talking about for your salvation, but I'm talking about this, that your obedience is a billboard. Your disobedience is a billboard to a lost and dying world. That when they watch me disobey, that screams. That preaches a sermon, a negative sermon to them. When they see me obey, that preaches. When they see you obey, that preaches. When they see you disobey, that preaches. That's why our key number three in your notes is living for God springs forth from a sincere heart that urgently desires to obey God. Let me say that again. Living for God springs forth from a sincere heart that urgently desires to obey God. One of my favorite scriptures in all of Scripture itself is Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15, and it says this, Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. Moms and dads and students and young people in the room today, I pray that that verse, those two verses, would just marinate and saturate your lives right now. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, I pray today, before you leave the church house today, that you would drive a stake in the ground, that you'd be resolute, that you'd be determined, that say, you know, I'm not going this way any longer. I'm not driving off spiritual cliffs any longer. I'm not going over bridges that when you get over the hump in the middle, there's nothing left. No, I'm serving Jesus. And if it costs me everything, so be it. I'm serving Jesus. Proverbs 28, 18. Whoever walks in integrity will be delivered, but he who is crooked in his ways will suddenly fall. See, Noah was righteous. He was blameless. And then lastly, Noah walked with God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who are you walking with? No, really, I'm asking you the question, who are you walking with? We're all walking with someone or something. Ultimately, we're either walking with Jesus or we're walking with the world. Jesus said that you can't be for me and against me. You're either one or the other. Matter of fact, you go there to Revelation, the church of Laodicea, and there Jesus is. Have you ever figured this out, by the way? Jesus is knocking on the door of his own church, trying to get in. Houston, we got a problem. Here he You're either hot or you're cold. Not only if you're lukewarm would he want to vomit you out of his mouth, but we got to remember that when we ride the fence, Satan owns the fence. So critical that Noah walked with God. Noah walked. What's that mean? He went with. It's how he lived his life. God there is the great God of the Bible. I want you to think about this as I paint this picture this morning, that when you walk with someone, what are you typically doing? Not a trick question, but when you're walking with someone, what are you doing? Well, typically you're in step. It'd be kind of awkward to say, hey, I'm walking with so-and-so, and you're 10 yards ahead of them. It'd be kind of weird to say, hey, I'm walking with so-and-so, and you're 20 yards behind them. No, when you walk with someone, you are in tandem, you are in step. You are dialed in. You are walking together. Noah didn't walk with the world or with the culture of the day or looking internally to himself. No, Noah walked with God. And if anyone ever tells you your obedience does not matter, I beg to differ. Your obedience does matter. That's why key number four is this. Key number four. If I'm going to walk with God, I must intentionally be intimate with God. Let me say that again. If I'm going to walk with God, I must intentionally be intimate with God. God is not happy to be second place on your trophy shelf. God is not looking for you and I to worship Him and say His name and read His word on Sunday only. He doesn't want us to be weekend warriors for Him. This is a lifestyle, a life change that when God truly, through Jesus' blood and His righteousness, takes over your life now is no longer your own. I made this note. I said that I typically become who I hang out with. Think about that for a moment. We typically become who we hang out with. And my parents would always warn me when I was younger. And getting into the teenage years, they would say, you know, be careful who you hang out with. Bad company corrupts. We typically begin to emulate those we hang out with. Let's take that to a very positive scenario. You start hanging with God, that's good stuff, isn't it? I mean, you start hanging with God, and it's like, oh man, you become Christ-like. You begin to have humility and patience and the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. This is the whole point. God wants to walk with you. He's not out there leaving you by yourself. This isn't one of these deals where it's like, you know, in this world you will have tribulation, period. Good luck. Hope this works out. In this world you will have tribulation, comma, but what? Be of good cheer, Jesus speaking. Why? Because I, Jesus, have done what? I, Jesus, have overcome the world. See, we're overcomers if you're a believer in Christ today. I don't care how bad your situation is. If you have the blood of Jesus on your life today, you're an overcomer. There's no reason to live in defeat any longer. Droopy shoulders, Eeyore complex, right? We're just kind of going around. Praise Jesus. He changed my life. Victory in Jesus. No wonder the world looks at us like we've lost our minds. And we have victory, church family. Well, we come from the victory, not for it. We're not hoping that, oh, I hope all this stuff is true in God's word, and you know, maybe Revelation's going to get here, and perhaps maybe He really is going to come back on a white horse. Oh, church family, I know today my Redeemer lives. Walking with God means intimacy and communion with Him, intimate fellowship. I can remember when my kids were younger, they're a little big now to do this, but I would put them in a car seat. And we would take them occasionally, like once every 3 or 4 years maybe, to that dreaded store called Toys R Us. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? I can remember that they'd be in their car seat, and I would take them out of the car seat and unbuckle those things, and praise God for car seats, because like they will survive the wrath of God, won't they? There's buckles everywhere. And so it takes you 9 minutes just to get the thing unbuckled, and you get the child out, and I would set my child down, and I would grab them by the hand. And I'd grab them by the hand for this reason, because they began to learn. They began to learn as they walked with me that I could see higher than they could. See, I could see the car in the other lot pulling into our lot that they couldn't see. And see, they were determined to go run into the toy store. But I would say, no, you got to stay with me. And I would look, and I would protect, and I would guide. See, they began to learn that as Daddy took them, they began to have a deep trust, a deep fellowship, a deep intimacy as we walked hand in hand. Micah 6:8 says this, "He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." You look at Noah here, and he stood up from the crowd, didn't he? The countdown to the flood would have been 120 years, and it's easy to go against the grain when everyone else is standing with you, but when you're the only one in the face of adversity and ridicule to stand tall for God, it's not so easy, is it? One man said it like this, "The only way for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." Another man said it like this, that it's easier to find a score of men who can discover the truth than to find one in the face of adversity who's willing to go live for it and stand for it. Never allow, please hear me, church family, on this. Never allow the criticism from others to dictate your level of obedience to God. Let me say that again. Never allow the criticism of others to dictate your level of obedience to God. Remember when Peter got out of the boat? You guys remember that account? Peter got out of the boat. Anyone know this besides me? Or I'm the only one that's ever read this. Okay. Three of us. Praise Jesus. Okay. All right. Peter gets out of the boat. Jesus is there going, "Hey, come here." Peter's like, "Woohoo, here we go," right? Now, Peter, he was the bold one, wasn't he? Did you ever wonder when you read that account what everyone else in the boat was saying about Peter? I mean, here he is. They're probably going, "Oh, there goes Peter again. There he goes again, running after Jesus. What is wrong with him?" Do you think we're ever really going to get there on that day? And Jesus is going to look at me and look at you and say, "You just loved me way too much. You obeyed me, John, way too much. You should have just backed off this." I mean, do you really think Jesus is going to look at us and say that? That's why when you are criticized, and I do this because I pour into the next generation of preachers. It's my passion. And I teach them what they're really signing up for. That you're going to walk around with a bullseye on your back constantly. And if you determine to preach the Word of God, the whole counsel of the Word of God, to compel men to be reconciled to God, the enemy, he'll empty one quiver of fiery darts on you and he will reload with another and continue to do it. And so I implore them and I implore you today who are looking to stand tall for Jesus, never allow others' criticism of you as you follow Jesus to dictate your level of obedience to him. One man said it like this, and this has been attributed to various authors, so we'll just say one man wrote this. "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have been done better, The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows the end. There is great triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
I wonder how many, even here today, are hanging out in the locker room, but just aren't making it to the field where the game's actually being played. See, Noah walked with God. When you begin to understand what Calvary has bought for you, when you begin to understand that you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, when you begin to understand that you and I, we stood condemned to death, but Jesus took our place. How can we sit back and just hope that people get saved? We will never be gripped by the lostness around us until we are first gripped by the glory of God. That's why this last question I want to ask you this morning, I pray that you meditate on this and marinate on it, because I've been doing this all week and it radically just shook me to my core. But my question I want to ask this morning is this: what does your day revolve around? I mean, think through that for a moment. What does your day revolve around? See, God wants you to run after Him. He wants you to walk with Him. He wants your day to be about Him, to be God-centered, to be Christ-exalting, to be Bible-driven, to be prayer-saturated. He wants everything that you do, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. When my kids were younger, we placed them in a crib. Now, for you younger people, my children, who were very young, did not have their own house. That's a crib, that's a house, but I'm talking about a crib, that's a crib. You guys tracking with me here? I don't want to lose you on the tail end of this thing. But it's a crib. You know what I'm talking about. Ours was white, and it had those little, like, those thingamajiggies, those latches, and you would pull them up, and after about six uses, they would break. You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah, okay, now you know. Okay. And so you'd pull it up, and it'd click, and it had, like, slats in it. And so my kids, when they were in there, they would stand up in it, and they thought they were in jail. You guys know what I'm talking about? And it was their crib. It was their, quote-unquote, their mini house. We could say that. And they would hang out in their crib. But it's very interesting that when I would walk in the room, that immediately whatever they were doing would be halted. Like it would cease. And their eyes would be misalocked on my eyes. And they saw that their dad had walked in the room. And they didn't just sit there and, oh. They didn't say, hey, you know, I'll get with you in a minute. But what they did was they looked at me and they immediately rose to their feet and they stood on the edge of the crib. And as they're standing looking at their dad, they would then go to the next step and their arms would be extended to me. And many times they get on their tiptoes and they're saying, Daddy, Daddy, pick me up. Daddy, I need you. Daddy, I depend on you. I love you. Do you see the illustration here that your Heavenly Father is waiting for you and me to get out of our crib? And with hands held high and on our tiptoes say, oh, you're all I want. You're all I need. See, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It was nothing he did. It was grace, unmerited favor. But because of that grace, he was righteous. He lived a righteous life pursuing God, his glory, his praise. He was blameless, pursuing the things of the Lord, not following men. And because of all of that, you could sum it up that he walked with God in the face of adversity. I'm sure in the face of ridicule. Can you imagine what the homeowners association was saying when he's building that boat? Can you imagine the letters he was getting in his mailbox? You can't build a boat in the middle of your yard. Oh, yes, I can. How can you do that? Because the Lord of hosts told me to do this. Where are you today? Not physically, where are you? But spiritually. No, really. Who are you walking with? Well, I'm a pastor. Praise Jesus. Who are you walking with? Hey, I'm a deacon. Praise Jesus. Who are you walking with? I'm an elder. Praise Jesus. Who are you walking with? I'm a Sunday school teacher. Who are you walking with? I help out with VBS. Praise God. Yay, praise God. Who are you walking with? Because we're either walking with Jesus or we're walking with the world. I just wonder, in a group of this size, how many people just need some prayer. Like you're at the end. Like your hand is so close to the done button, it can't get any closer. And you just need a touch from the Lord. You know what I've learned in my travels is that all revival and awakening always starts with one person. Just one person who says, I'm willing. I'll be a Noah. I'll go against the grain. I'll be vulnerable. I'll go tell an elder right now that I just need some prayer. I need some encouragement. I'm struggling. I don't know how I'm going to make it. My marriage is imploding. My finances are in shambles. My kids, we all hate each other. Jesus is the answer to your circumstances. All fires start with one spark. Will your obedience in this act of worship matter? Absolutely. Father, we come before you, and God, we can't manufacture, nor do we want to manufacture a move of you. But God, I know this. Everywhere I go, people are hurting. And for those that are hurting in the room today that have questions, perhaps there's one here today that does not truly know you, and you've spoken to their heart. God, I pray today will be the day of salvation. There's nothing more important today that you will do than fall at the old rugged cross. The house you got to look at this afternoon, or the car you're looking to buy, or whatever you got on your list this afternoon is not important. Eternity is important. So God, I pray if there's one here, maybe several, that truly don't know you. But today they want to know you. They want to start walking with you. God, I pray they would just obey you. Maybe there's one here today that's been living in secret sin. Could be an addiction. Might be attitudes of the heart, bitterness, unforgiveness, deep father wounds that have never been dealt with, jealousy, envy, complaining, backbiting. See, God's never going to bless when we live in that realm. And so perhaps that's you. Do you understand this? There's freedom in Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, but just not to forgive us. But He goes even deeper to cleanse us, to purify us from all unrighteousness. What a beautiful day this would be today to bring it to the light. There's no condemnation. There's freedom. The enemy says there's condemnation, but that's a lie from the pit of hell. There's freedom today. No longer walk around with this ball and chain around your neck. Give it to Jesus today. God, whatever you want to do in this time, I pray we'll just be found faithful. This is your invitation time. This is your time of prayer. This is your time of encouragement. Whatever we want to call it, God, this is your time. And we operate on your time and your plan. And so, God, whatever you want to do, God, I just pray for just a mighty move of your Spirit here this morning. I pray for one, just one. One that will say, here am I, send me. Oh, God, to you be the praise. To you be the glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. That's info@thisdayministries.org. Or you can write us at This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida 33508. That's This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida 33508. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.